Good morning, Grace Church. It is so good to be here this morning. It's so good to be with Grace Church, my family, and one of the elders. And we have, if you don't know, we have four sites, and we have Midhurst, we have Bognor, we have Chichester, and we have Haven. And usually, I am based here, but not. As in, because I do worship, I go to all the other sites. So you will see Johnny here on a regular basis. You will see me probably twice in a month. So if you haven't seen me before, it's good to see you this morning. And it is good to be here. I'm excited about this morning. We've been in our foundation series, and it has been a good series. And this week we're going to be in Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20. And just have it open. I'm going to be touching on verses from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. In this preaching series, we're looking at some of the foundational principles and truths that underpin what it means to live as a Christian. If you need a Bible, then raise your hands and a Bible will promptly be dropped into your hands. Yes, yeah, so as I said, we're looking at foundational principles and truths that underpin what it means to live as a Christian. It's all true from the Bible. But we're picking out particular themes that will help you stay strong and effective and able to plot the very best course God would have you for your life. I don't think anyone becomes a Christian and thinks, yeah, this is just a phase I'm going through. I'll enjoy it while it lasts. Most people understand that they're making a life decision. They may be thinking it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm making a life decision to live for God for the rest of my life, and I want to follow Jesus. This is what it means to have faith and turn to God in repentance, as we looked at the beginning of the series. So within this talk, I'm going to be talking on kingdom warfare, what it means to battle in your struggles. We're looking at what it means to be an overcomer. Spiritual warfare is real. And yet, it seems to me that some people think it's sometimes Christianity is just a phase that they go through. You know? I've seen people go, well, you'll get over that. People have said to me before, oh, it's just a phase you're going through. You'll get over that Christian lark. In a month or two's time, you'll be back doing what you were doing. And the reason why people think like that is because they never understood that we are in a spiritual battle. That as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle that is very real. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at what it means to be a Christian. And it's a wonderful thing. It is truly a wonderful thing. Before you were Christians, you were dead in your sin. As Joe said a couple of weeks ago, dead. D-E-D said, dead. But as you become Christians, you are made alive to Christ. All your sins, past, present, future, totally forgiven. Adopted as sons or daughters into a relationship with God. Filled with the Holy Spirit. As Christians, you are still living your life in this world as before, but you have a totally new identity. You are citizens, a belonging member of the kingdom of God. So it should be plain sailing, right? Everything should be nice and easy. Life should never be a challenge. You know? We should never go through pain. We should never go through difficulties. And everyone who you know should be running to you and say, yeah, how can I become a Christian? Well, clearly, that's not how life works, and we know that. Without a biblical understanding of life, so many people, when challenge comes, simply park their Christian living to one side and revert to worldly values. It's like, you know what? I haven't got time for Christian to be a Christian now. I haven't. There's too many things going on. I haven't got the space that I need to focus on Jesus right now. When actually, the way to be victorious in this life and thrive as a follower of Jesus is to root yourself into Scripture. Recognize that there is a real spiritual battle and you are in it. But in Christ, you have the victory. That's what the Bible says. So you can take the fight to the enemy and win. Often, our Western culture perspective puts us way behind other cultures when it comes to the biblical understanding of the spiritual battle that we are in. We are at a disadvantage for two reasons. The first reason is that we are increasingly closed in our Western culture to the concept of a spiritual world. I know I used to think, well, what is it all about? And I never even used to think of it. Science is king. We have a mindset that we are too clever to believe that there is a spiritual dimension that we live in. And yet, most people, deep down, they still have this nagging feeling that there is more to life than what we see. The only difference between our culture and others in the world is that we are too embarrassed to admit it. And that is because of a worldview that's imposed upon us. But read any few scriptures, any few passages in the Bible, and you're left in no doubt that there is more going on in this world than what you can see with your eyes. There is a spiritual reality to every part of your life, every person you relate to, and every place that you go. We need to train our minds to be aware of this because it builds faith. If you ignore the spiritual dimensions of this world, then it's as if you are seeing everything in two dimensions, never realizing that you can look side on and see a third dimension. Everything has depth. In the same way, you can look at every situation from the side, as it were, and ask the question, what is going on here spiritually? What's going on? The second reason we struggle to understand the spiritual battle is increasingly in this country, we don't really have a concept of war. We live in a bit of a bubble in that respect. The closest we come to war is when, say, two cars are going for the same parking space, or when you're in Tesco's and, you know, there's one trolley left and you and somebody's trying to get that trolley. You know, we should honestly give God thanks that we have peace and the peace that we do experience where we live. We should also recognize that the majority of this world population has a much closer understanding of what it means to be at war. I'm going to get this clicker working now. Right, have a look at this map. It shows the countries of the world that are currently engaged in armed conflict, and the darkness of the colour indicates the number of the deaths in the last 12 months, ranging from less than 100 to more than 10,000. The UK, if you can see at the top there, is coloured yellow. And it's because I think that we've lost servicemen in Afghanistan in the last year. My conclusion is that most of the world population understand warfare in a way that we simply don't. But the Bible does not only describe spiritual reality to life, but it's clear that we are in a spiritual, we are in a battle, spiritually speaking. We are at war. Consider these verses. Matthew 11, verse 12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men and women lay hold of it. Battle. John 10:29 says this, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Read any few passages of the Bible and you're left in no doubt that there is more going on in this world than what you can see with your eyes. I'm constantly aware that we are in a spiritual battle. And in these last few weeks, that's no exception. You know, on Tuesday mornings we meet in Bognor at John and Mary Nation's house to pray. We pray for varied things. We pray for the church. We pray for people who are sick. We pray for people who are in need of things. I know it's a battle. It is subtle in many ways. Some bits are bad news, some bits are disappointment. Feeling a bit up against it at times, certain people. It's a battle. We gather together to pray, to see God at work, fight. This time of the year, the elders and trustees are putting together the church budget. And it's a challenge for the coming year. I believe it's an area of spiritual battle for us. We have to battle through. Whatever the situation or experience is, it is instructed to step back and look side on and ask, what is really going on spiritually? Take a step back, look it from the side on and say, what's going on spiritually? If you feel that something is blocking your way forward in your life, blocking the way forward in your life, see the spiritual significance. And even when it's positive, when things are going right, see the spiritual significance. It could be that you've been witnessing for someone for years upon years, asking them to come to church, asking for them to, you know, just, you know, read the Bible, give God a chance. And suddenly one day there's breakthrough. One day, when you're not expecting it, you see them in church. One day when you're not, they give their life to Jesus. See the spiritual battle there. When your life, when you look at life as a spiritual reality, what is it that you see? Your understanding must be based on the revelation of Scripture. Otherwise, we'll just make stuff up. There's a lot of nonsense out there when it comes to spiritual things. Here's what you need to know. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God. We looked at that last week. The kingdom of God is every place, every life where God is worshipped. If God is obeyed and honored, his kingdom is there. Now, God is sovereign over the whole universe. He's sovereign. He's God. He's over the whole universe. He is Lord of all. He created all things. He's above all creation. Created all things. God has authority over all creation. Let's not miss that. He also created mankind, people, you, me. And he appointed them to fill the earth and rule over it. God gives us authority over creation. So we've got God, yeah, who's over all. But then in the middle of that, we've got man, who God is above man. But man, God has given, rule over creation. God gives us authority over creation. But because man sinned, because we sinned, Satan took that authority away from man. Satan, also called the devil or evil one, is very real, but limited spiritual being who's full of evil and lies and everything that is opposed to God. So he's against God. He's full of evil, he's full of lies, and he places himself there in between you and God. This has two effects. One, that man is now separated from God. Sin does that. Secondly, Satan now exercises his authority over the world, including people in it. He's an imposter. He has no right to rule. But sin enables him to dominate and dominate the affairs of man. But be very clear, the devil did not take authority away from God. He is a created being. What he did was he took authority away from you and me. Now, when Jesus came, he was born as a man. He rose from the dead and is now seated on the throne of heaven. Ephesians 1:19-21 says this: God has power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in a place of honor at the right hand of God in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any rule or authority or power or leader or anything else. There is now a man who has authority over Satan. And that man's name is Jesus. He has a rule. He has authority over Satan. That means you and I, as people, can have authority over Satan too. The way you do that is being united with Jesus, as the diagram shows. God, Jesus, man. We are united with Jesus. You put your faith in him. When you are in Jesus, you are united again with the Father, and nothing can change that for all eternity. That's exciting. Your life is now you and God in Christ. You ask, but where's Satan now? Why is there still a spiritual battle going on? Why do I still have bad weeks? Why do I still have bad thoughts? Why do I still feel rubbish? Well, I find it helpful to picture it like this. For now, Satan still exists in the middle ground, clinging on to as much authority as he can. That is where the battle's being fought. Sometimes he gets to take some ground. He messes something up or gets someone to believe some lies. His ground may grow a little. Know that he can never cut you off. He can never cut you off from the Father. That link is strong. It's like stretchy rubber or elastic band. Never cut you off. Or as Romans 8 puts it better, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying that the rule of Satan will be pushed out. Literally, pushed out of every situation, pushed out of every person's life, that he would get smaller. And this bit would get bigger. One day when Jesus returns and Satan is completely done away with, that will be the situation then. That God, Jesus, man. That is God's plan. God's kingdom will finally be fully established. We'll be perfectly united with the Father through Jesus. And we will reign with Jesus over creation for eternity. That's his plan. So understanding the spiritual landscape gives you fresh insight into what's really going on in your life when challenges or disappointment or struggle comes along. This is the situation right now. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in these heavenly realms." There's a battle that is being fought over your life, over the lives of those you know and love. But you do not need to fear. Your connection with the Father through Jesus, it's not in doubt. It's not in doubt. But there is stuff that we can learn about the fire. Stuff that we can learn. Spiritual battle. First, it is real and it's constant. It's real and it's constant. Sometimes people ask me, is this one of those spiritual battle situations, like when something goes particularly wrong in their life? As if this truth only applies at very unusual, exceptional circumstances. I think it's better to assume that we are permanently in a battle every second of every day and every situation, from hugely significant down to the most trivial. It has a real spiritual dimension to it. If you see your life like that, then you can be alert, be ready. Actually, it unlocks a biblical way of thinking, which in the end becomes second nature. It's not always helpful to think that there's an epic, and I used to think like this, there's some epic battle going on in the heavenlies with demons where you can't see it. It's not helpful to think like that. Suppose, for example, that you have an appointment in town. It could be with a hairdresser, it could be with the bank manager or whatever. And you're driving into town, you're running late, major traffic, bang, shut down, you can't move in your car. And you miss your appointment. It's not a big deal. In the scheme of things, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal. It's not a high, well, maybe for some of us it's a high stress situation, but it's not really a high stress situation. It's annoying. Yes, it is. But is this spiritual? Is it spiritual? Of course it is. Everything is. If that tiny situation makes you curse God, then Satan has gained ground. If it causes you to stop and thank God for the beautiful morning and the traffic that's around, and for all the people in the cars looking lovely and nice, then he scored an own goal. What I'm saying is, don't wait for the spiritual moment. It's everywhere. It's the landscape that we live in. Secondly, the battle is not against flesh and blood. Don't confuse the spiritual battle with battles you might have with people or organization or things. Your battle this morning or any other morning or the morning that you queue in traffic or when the car gets broken down or whatever, it wasn't against that. The spiritual battle is all about worship. If God is being worshipped and honored and obeyed, the kingdom of God is advancing. If he's being downtrodden or worship is going elsewhere, then Satan is gaining ground. Thirdly, it's close combat. Verse 12 says that our struggle's not against flesh and blood. The word struggle there means to wrestle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against each other, but we do wrestle. The devil attacks are up close and personal. He knows exactly where you are at your weakest, exactly where you are most vulnerable. And he will try everything to hit the thing that you care about the most. You think, oh, well, why can't the devil just go over there? Or, you know, do his thing somewhere else, far away from me. But then it wouldn't be a wrestle. He wants to get hold of you. He truly does. He wants to get hold of you. Why? Because for him, this is personal. You are now in Christ, which you weren't before. You're in Christ Jesus. You've given your life to Jesus. You're in him. And he doesn't like it. So it's personal. That's why you have to rest. It's personal for him. Fourthly, the expectation is to stand firm. The devil will wrestle with you. But as I've said, you are in Christ. When it comes to spiritual battle, it's not a case of win some, lose some, flick of a coin, you know, wonder which way it's going to go this time. No, stand firm. Every expectation of God is that you will overcome, and you will. The reason that God has shown you exactly what is going on and reveal to you the spiritual landscape is not that you can retreat back in fear. It hasn't shown you this so that you can go, ooh, no, I don't want none of this. And equally, it doesn't show you this so that you can get all spiritual, weird, and superstitious. God has shown you this so that you can advance in faith. You can win every little battle, every skirmish that the enemy throws at you. The reasonable expectation is that you will stand firm. It's reasonable because although you are in a spiritual battle, God has equipped you with spiritual weapons. This is something that we need to get hold of. Ephesians 6. Verse 10 to 11 says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The reason you can stand firm when spiritual forces are attacking you is that your whole identity is in Jesus. I'm going to talk about the armor of God in a minute. But don't miss. Let's not miss whose armor it is. Let's not miss whose armor we're talking about. It is the armor of God. And when you put on the armor of God, you are putting on God himself. That's it. That's what makes it a mighty weapon. Don't just be strong. Be strong in the Lord. The armor of God is an Old Testament reference. I'm going to read some of it to you. In Isaiah, you don't have to turn to it. Just sure. In Isaiah 59, verse 15, 17, it says, "The Lord looked and was displeased, and there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled, and there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on the righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head." And it goes on. The prophet Isaiah saw God looking out of the world saying, "I alone will be the salvation that my people need." And so he puts on his armor, the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. So when Ephesians tells us to put on the armor of God, it's not just a nice picture or a helpful illustration. It's saying, remember that you are united with Jesus and he fights on your behalf. The God part is more important than the armor part. Put on God himself. That is the very nature and power of God at your disposal. Putting on God himself, you have him at your disposal for every battle, for every situation. Then when the devil attacks you with his flaming arrows of discouragement and accusations fly in your direction, it is Jesus that he's attacking before he's attacking you. As he tries to push you off your ground and weaken you in your faith, it's the Lord Almighty that he is pushing before he is pushing you. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. You know, I have a friend, real good friend of mine, he was one of my mentors, and he was a fencer. So, and I used to go out with him at times, and, you know, with a fence, you have a big fence post that go into the ground. And at times when a fence blows out, you can almost push these fence posts from side to side. Backwards and forwards, you can push them, they quite loose, but try getting them out of the ground. Try getting a fence post out of the ground. You know, I used to think, oh, that's easy. Go to lift. They are concreted into the ground at absurd depths. They go right down and then they're concreted in. So you may be able to push it and it may go backwards and forwards. That's one thing. You cannot get them out of the ground. Suddenly, the posts are totally immovable. It's not going anywhere for anything. You are opposed by the devil at every turn. He will try to move you off of God's plan. He will try to shove you, move you. He will try to undermine your faith and distract you and push you over. He'll try and push you over. You know, the reason you can stand firm is because you are rooted in Jesus. You are cemented in. into Jesus. When the devil pushes you, when he's pushing you around, guess what? He's pushing Jesus. He's really pushing Jesus around. That ain't no fear fight. It doesn't matter how strong you are in yourself this morning. You are in Jesus. Be strong. Know that you are rooted in Him. Be strong. Paul, who wrote Ephesians, goes on to expand and explain what this armor, what the armor of God looks like, which I really think helps us to understand how to use it effectively and the power that is available to you. As you probably know, there's different parts to an armor that are mentioned. I'm more likely referring to the different parts of armor that a Roman soldier would have used back then. That's what a Roman soldier would have looked like back then. And I know if I'm in an army, if I'm going, I don't want to be wearing no skirt. I don't want to be looking like that. I don't find it appealing in any way. My wife might find it appealing, but I don't find it appealing wearing a skirt and sandals. I want to look like this. Yeah, I'm ready for battle. You know, when you're thinking of armor, the armor of God, don't think wimpy. Think Iron Man. You know? So let's unpack it. In truth, every part of the armor is actually the same thing. If you have your Bibles open, Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 20, we're going to go through this. I'm not going to read that, but it's there for you to see. It's the truth of the gospel. It's the truth of your new identity in Christ. It's truth that you have been set free from the power of sin and clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. It's all the same truth. So, the armor starts. This is spiritual weapons. The armor starts with the belt of truth. Verse 14 says, stand firm, then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. It's the belt. It holds everything together. I know at work sometimes I'm in my work whites, and you know, if I forget the belt and I'm climbing up a ladder, my trousers could fall down. But the belt holds it in place. You know, the belt holds everything together. It holds it in place. The last thing that any of us needs is a spiritual encounter that is divorced from truth. It's the truth buckled around your waist. You don't need empty meditations. You need to surround yourself with the truth of Scripture. Read it every day. Explore it. Let it soak into your thinking. The power of God in your life is completely dug around. Make sure it's completely dug around and soaked with truth revealed in the pages of the Bible. Next thing is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers and protects your torso. There's a lot of important things that go on there. Apparently, it's where you keep your vital organs. Historically, it was always seen as the core of who you were. It represents the most inner self place. The most inner self place. And, you know, it's something that we rarely let anybody else into. We say things like, what does your heart tell you? It's my secret. Innermost self. Also, it's also the seat of your emotions and your sense of well-being. It's all in there. And this is what we need to protect with the breastplate of righteousness. God's righteousness is not something that you can earn or have to work towards. He gives it to you as a free gift. It is an announcement over you that he declares you righteous. Therefore, it is true. One of the favorite devil's schemes is to whisper into your inner most vulnerable self and say, yeah, you know what? You're worthless. You know what? God doesn't love you. Who do you think you are? You're insignificant. You're rubbish. But with the breastplate of righteousness on, you can answer and say, no, I am righteous. Today, tomorrow, and always. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Exodus shoes, verse 15 talks about having your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel is news. I want you to grab hold of this. It's good news, but it's still news. Why do I say that? In other words, it's a message or announcement. It starts when we grab someone's attention and say, hey! When we grab someone's attention, we say, hey! The gospel needs to be on our lips. It needs to be in our conversation. You need to be ready to tell people about Jesus. And when you do that, it's a key part of your armor. It's a key part of your spiritual protection. In any battle, the messengers were an incredibly important part of the army. They could relay messages all around the battlefield. Right to the other parts where other people were located. Messengers could travel up and down the country with surprising speed. Wherever the battles were being fought, the messengers were always ready. They had their shoes on. That's the picture here. We tend to think, oh no, I'm not going to share my faith because it will attract the devil's attention and invite a spiritual battle. Well, scripture teaches the complete opposite. You have the devil's attention already. You are in a spiritual battle. And the way you overcome, the way we prevail over the enemy, is to be ready to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Sharing your faith is a part of your armor. We have the shield. In addition to all of this, take the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The devil loves to accuse. That's you that was. That's your fault. That's because, you know, you're a joke. God thinks you're a joke. Every accusation is like an arrow, a tracer bullet that's fired into your direction. Is it going to hit the mark? No arrow or bullet will get through if you hold up the shield of faith. We looked at what faith was at the start of the foundation series. God has spoken promises over your life. He's spoken promises over you. You have a choice to believe the devil's lies or to believe the truth of God. Faith says, no, this is what I am standing on. Remind yourself of the promises. Speak them back to the devil. That's exactly what Jesus did in the desert. You say this, but God says this. And his truth trumps your lies. We're nearly there. Helmet of salvation. Obviously, the helmet protects. Helmet protects your head whenever you're in a battle. Your head needs protection. Whether you're cycling, whether you're climbing, whether you're building, you know, it's advised to wear a safety helmet. In Isaiah, God himself put on the helmet of salvation, not because he's a bit fragile and he needs protecting. No, in a battle, the helmet was a visible part of the uniform. He's saying, this is who I am, and you'd better be afraid. And when that visor, put the helmet on, when that visor goes down, snap. It's a clear statement of intent. When that helmet's on, and that you've seen in them films, gladiators in them films, when they put the and that visor, and it's almost like clap, they're ready. That means, yeah, you know what? We're ready for battle. It's a clear statement of intent. I'm coming for you. When you put your helmet of salvation on, you're saying to the devil, loud and clear, do you know who I am? I'm a child of God. You'd better be afraid. I'm a child of the King. You represent the eternal reign of Christ that will still be reigning on this earth when the devil is long since forgotten. That's who you represent. Finally, the sword. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is the sword a part of the armor? I don't know if it's a part of the armor. I know it is with Iron Man. It's in the middle of his hand, so it's a part of his armor. But this is what God has equipped you with. He has given you his Holy Spirit. And whenever you ask, he will fill you with his Holy Spirit. We're still talking truth here. It's the Word of God. But the Spirit and the Word of God is empowered to make a massive difference in your situation. Spirit and the Word. When the Word of God is combined with the Spirit of God, the devil cannot hope to stand. The effect is awesome. That's why God is looking for worshippers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Word, Spirit, together. We do these encounter worship times. Roughly about every two months. We had one about 2 weeks ago down at Botsgrove, and you know, God was just speaking powerfully in that evening. And God, our Father's actually seeking out and longing to be where his people are worshiping him. There were so many examples of that evening where God was just speaking. So as we came to pray, as we prayed, and as we worshipped, and as we encountered, and as we heard from God on these evenings, you just knew spiritual forces of evil were being swept aside. Sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. In your life, don't forget or neglect to be filled with the Spirit, because when you are in the truth, and it's not just words or empty mantra. You'll see the power of God more in life, in your life, being operated more in your life. To know the power of God in your life, you've got to be plugged into the power source. I'm going to get Eilis to come up with the band. Verse 18 continues without a breath, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of spirit prayers and requests. Plugged into the power source, you come close to God and commune with him when you pray. Prayer is a mighty weapon in the hand of a spirit-filled believer. Where do you feel the spiritual battle lines are drawn in your life at this moment? Where do you feel that there's a battle going on? Where are you longing to see breakthrough? Where would you like to see the kingdom of God advance? But it just seems like now there's opposition and oppression and distraction all around. Put on the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus. Through Jesus' death, he has disarmed every power and authority, and he is seated on the throne of heaven. He's seated. And you are in Christ Jesus this morning. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to remember. We do want to pray. As a response to just being in spiritual battle, to a response to being victorious in Jesus, in response to being seated with him, we are going to remember the victory of Jesus at the cross. We're going to take up communion together.